Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
Mommy! Mommy! I'm coming!
Unfortunately, the tests confirm that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
We need a solution.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith.
Like a small boat. This Easter.
On the ocean. So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes.
Well, that's impossible.
How do we explain the impossible?
He told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner, now playing. Rated PG, parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, go to miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.
I am simply befuddled. I still cannot understand why the Republican establishment and why these conservative pundits don't get why Donald Trump is doing so well in the primaries. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome to the podcast. I've got a bee in my bonnet over this, and I need to talk about it because it seems like primary after primary, we sit there on election night, and everyone seems to be stumped as to why Trump is doing so well across the country. Originally, they just said, "Oh, he's gonna take the Deep South, but he's not gonna win anywhere else. His message won't resonate." Well, it's resonating. So let me explain this one more time. The reason why Donald Trump is doing so well is because people are angry. They are furious at the political parties, Republican and Democrat, but we're talking about the Republicans here. But they're furious because, again, this is a political party that promised but failed to defend the American working man. They promised but failed to defend conservative values. I hear it every single day on our Facebook fan page, from email from our listeners. People are worried about jobs. They're worried that another American company, the one they work for, might pull up stakes and move across the border. And right now, there's only one candidate who's connecting with the voters on this issue, and his name is Donald Trump. Now, you may think he's a Democrat in disguise. You may think he's a con artist. You may think he's the son of Satan. But in state after state, voters are buying what Donald Trump is selling. Now, that's not to say the other candidates are doomed. But if they want to win, they have to offer a compelling argument that they are going to protect American workers as much as they protect the American business owners. So that's where we are. And I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but that's where we are. And that's the reality of it. As much as I support and defend religious liberty and cultural issues, those are not issues driving people to the polls this go around. It's just not. Look at the exit polling data. It's all about jobs. It's about the economy. It's about American sovereignty, protecting our borders. And one more thing, and I keep reminding folks of this because it's easy to let the mainstream media narrative seep into your brain over time. And you'll hear the politicians out there saying that Donald Trump wants to shut down the borders and doesn't want to let people into the country. That's not true. He wanted to temporarily shut down the border to immigrants coming from areas that housed Islamic radicals. Syria, for example. Not permanently, temporarily. And at the time he said that, I believed it was a prudent move to make. And today, I still believe it is a prudent move to make. Somebody says, what about Ted Cruz? Well, Ted Cruz is doing very well. Ted Cruz is the only principled conservative in the bunch. And I think the endorsement from Carly Fiorina only helps him get stronger. And to be perfectly frank with you, I suspect that Miss Fiorina would make a fine running mate for Ted Cruz. But Ted Cruz does not have the charisma of Donald Trump, doesn't have the charisma of Marco Rubio. But as Marco Rubio is proving with his campaign, charisma is not enough to get you to the White House. So I think that Ted Cruz is going to have a solid run. And I believe that if Rubio and John Kasich were to bow out, I think it would be pretty darn competitive. And I would, that's a race I would like to see. But the question is, will establishment Republicans jump on board the Cruz bandwagon? Because it's a rolling. And folks who believe in limited government and principled conservative values, they're jumping on board. Just something to think about. So look, our big story today comes from Los Angeles, the University of Southern California. Just a remarkable story. Our good friends over at campusreform.org sent this story to me, and it's just unbelievable. But it's the God's honest truth. There's a young fellow there, a good conservative kid by the name of Jacob Ellenhorn, and he is the president of the College Republicans. There at USC. He is also a student senator. And his liberal colleagues have begun impeachment proceedings. They've launched an investigation. A complaint has been filed against Mr. Ellenhorn. And the reason they want him removed from office is because he has been expressing his conservative opinions. And he's also been inviting conservative speakers and thinkers to come to campus. And apparently that's a no-no there at USC. You know, I've been preaching for years now about how conservative young people have been coming under attack on their university campuses. And most of the attacks have been happening in the classrooms in the hands of these liberal professors. But it's an entirely different scenario now, where not only are the kids getting attacked in the classroom, but now they're being attacked by their fellow students. Apparently, there's no room for dissenting opinion on university campuses across the country, and it's not just at USC. Campus Reform also had a piece. Let me see here. I've got it right here. Here we go. At Colorado State University. So check this out. There are 10 student senators there at Colorado State University who are also facing potential impeachment because they voted against a diversity bill. Now, just think about this for a moment. These young people, for whatever reason, thought it was inappropriate to designate elected seats for historically underrepresented people groups. In other words, they get a free spot on the Senate. They don't even have to run for election. If you are an underrepresented people group, you get a free spot in the Senate. Everybody else has to run for election. They have to go before the people. In this case, the people are the students at Colorado State University. So anyway, there were 10 students on the Senate who thought, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. And they raised a stink about it, and they voted against it. And now they're facing impeachment because they had the wrong thought. Now, it's easy to dismiss all this nonsense as being just a bunch of college kids acting loony. But there's something more important here. I remind you of the Pew Research Study that showed that 40% of young millennials support limitations on free speech. And all of this starts to make sense. And need I remind you that in about 10 years from now, many of these anti-speech people are going to be running for office in the general population. And that's a little scary, folks. People that want to shut down free speech. Those who preach tolerance and diversity are the least tolerant and diverse of all. So anyway, back to Mr. Ellenhorn here. What a What a good young man. So many times we see students that just don't want to get involved in this. They don't want to talk to the media. They don't want to make a big deal about it. They just want to get their degree and move on. But Mr. Ellenhorn has decided to take a stand. And I had a chance to talk to him by telephone. And I want you to hear what this young man has to say. And A, it's going to make you proud to be an American. B, it's going to make you proud to know there are young people like this in America. And C, it's just going to piss you off that they did something like this to a good young man. Let's listen now to Jacob Ellenhorn. Joining me from Los Angeles is Jacob Ellenhorn. Jacob, you really are stirring up some controversy there at the university.
Yes, I am. It seems like freedom of speech and freedom to express your views is not allowed at the University of Southern California student government right now.
So I want to see if I understand this. You are basically facing impeachment for expressing your conservative opinions. Tell me about that.
Well, in addition to serving as a student senator, I'm also the president of the USC College Republicans, and in my capacity as president of the College Republicans, I've invited numerous speakers to our campus, some of which can be controversial, and one of the complaints lodged against me in this impeachment is that I've brought speakers to the campus that have made people feel uncomfortable, and it's for that reason that I deserve to be impeached.
So let me get this straight. Not only are you a Republican, you are a conservative Republican. I mean, you must be a popular guy on campus.
Yeah, not exactly. I'm popular amongst my friends and people who see where I'm coming from. I have liberal friends who are not interested in shutting me down. But amongst these, social justice warrior types that really take over student government, I'm not a popular person.
So I know I've read a little bit of your background, and I know it seems like it's been a struggle for conservatives there at USC. Has that been your experience there?
Well, I mean, it hadn't been my experience until as of right now, where I've been, attacked in this witch hunt against my views. I haven't really experienced a lot of pushback. Sure, there's been people who've been upset with certain speakers or certain, my opinions, but I've never seen anything to this level where it's like institutionalized discrimination against me and my views.
All right, so let's break down these views here. I mean, who were you trying to invite to campus? Like David Duke, Donald Trump? who were you trying to bring there to USC?
Well, we brought Milo Yiannopoulos. I don't know if any of your listeners are familiar with him.
Oh, everybody knows Milo. Come on.
Yeah. Well, Milo Yiannopoulos, he actually came out to our campus. And I've also brought Ben Shapiro to USC. Both of these speakers spoke last semester, so a couple of months ago.
Oh, geez, Alou. You bring Ben Shapiro to campus, and it's like the liberals run to their safe spaces. I mean, there's trembling.
Yeah.
Great
and
fear.
They're claiming that because I invited them, I made students on campus feel safe. And the truth is no one was forcing anyone to go to any of those events. No one had to listen to them. And we're a college campus, and for goodness sake, we're adults, and we should be able to handle other people's opinions.
So you bring these guys, you wanted to bring these guys to campus, and somebody had a problem with that.
Yes. I mean, but of course they never like to voice their, their problems with everything that's happening. They'll wait 4 or 5 months and then file a complaint against you and try to get you impeached. That's the way it works in this situation, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
On top of that, my term as senator is actually over in 3 weeks. So they've waited until the bitter end to try to impeach me so that I don't have a legacy as a senator in our student government, which is kind of disturbing.
They're trying to just stick it to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they've dealt with me this entire year. I've been one of the other complaints lodged against me is that I've spoken to the media. I mean, that's something that I do. I'm free to speak to who I want to. They've thrown numerous events that have been, kind of ridiculous, like a sexual consent carnival and so on and so forth. And I've spoken to the media outright. I've worked very closely with campusreform.org, and we've discussed, we put out stories together about these types of events where I acted as a source, And they're very angry about that because they don't want people speaking, voicing any opposition to them.
You know, it's interesting. It's been my experience covering these kinds of stories and talking to students like yourself that whenever a conservative viewpoint is expressed, you are automatically labeled some sort of a phobic or an ism, you know, racism, sexism, ageism.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I know you mentioned that. Tell me about that.
I've been called them all. If you just, you know, voice a difference of opinion on any small issue, they immediately lash out at you. You're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're anti-women, you're sexist, you hate women. I mean, this is ridiculous. And it gets to this point where they just try to shut you down. The thing is with the left on student campuses is they're not interested in discourse or debate or talking about other people's views. What they're interested in doing is shutting down people. And the way they do that is trying to destroy you. And they destroy you by calling you names that are, you know, defamatory, and they commit libel against you. And that's just what they do, because their goal is not to hear what you have to say and to talk to you. Their goal is to shut you down, because any opposition is not okay. So if you're against people, what it really means is that you're an evil person and deserve to be destroyed.
You know, over, I think it was last semester, we saw the rise of the Black Lives Matters movement, the creation of the safe spaces on campus, and it seems as though ever since then we've seen an uptick in these student groups, left wing student groups that are intentionally trying to silence conservative viewpoint, and it seems to me that this is a fairly new anomaly, I think it's even more dangerous and more threatening than what was happening in the classrooms with the liberal professors trying to shut down free speech.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was liberal professors trying to shut students down, and that was not okay. And now you see this new environment in which, you know, colleges have really created an environment in which students' feelings and, you know, all about their feelings and emotions are triumphed over reason and over opinions and over diversity of thought. So you have these communities created where everyone needs to care about their feelings and being heard and being safe. And then when you disagree with people or you present a viewpoint that they disagree with, it's no longer that they disagree with you. It's that your viewpoint personally hurts them. They're victims of your viewpoint. You know, all these ridiculous things. And, you know, and that's just kind of the culture that's created. Now, on the other side, I've heard people in student government say ridiculous things. You know, I've heard people in student government say, you know, that capitalism is the root of all evil, and capitalism is racism, and we have a, you know, education industrial complex and a military industrial complex and a prison, you know, school to prison pipeline. They go on and on. Now, I find all those things to be incredibly wrong and offensive because, you know, I'm an American, I'm a proud American. And, you know, we're a country built on capitalism. When people attack that, I think that's not okay. But I've never, ever filed a complaint against them or said that they needed to be, you know, impeached for that reason. That's because I operate on a different belief system, in that difference of opinion should be triumphed. We should, you know, look for a difference of opinion and really put it out there and give people a platform. And instead, what they're doing is trying to shut difference of opinion down.
And, you know, it's really understandable that a lot of students, when they're faced with this kind of vitriol, they don't want to fight back because they understand they are in the minority, conservative students. And
yeah,
yet,
absolutely. And yet
what I'm so impressed with about you, Jacob, is that you've not only decided to take a stand. I mean, you have taken a bold stand here.
Yeah, I'm tired. I mean, we've all been watching the news over the past year. You see administrators dropping out of their positions, students leaving offices because they've been attacked and people have come after them. I'm not going to stand down. I'm tired of watching people stand down. I'm going to stand up, and I'm not going to be quiet. They're trying to silence me. I'm just going to get louder. I've been speaking to the media about the story. We've been getting it out there. I've been getting support on social media, and I'm not going to sit down and take it. I'm tired of this happening, and it's time that someone take a stand, because if we don't take a stand, we have an entire generation of kids who are going to grow up and think that it's okay to, you know, to participate in this type of behavior, and it's not. And if no one else is going to take a stand, I am, and I'm not going to be quiet, and I'll continue fighting. And I look forward to this impeachment hearing being thrown out, and I look forward to, you know, fulfilling my entire term as senator. They're not going to silence me.
Good for you. You're my kind of people, as we say back in Tennessee, Jacob. My goodness. Folks, you'll be able to read the edict, the statement that that Jacob wrote. I will not be silenced. I will not stand down. It'll be on the website, toddstearns.com. You can read that, and I encourage you to read it because this is an incredibly brave and bold young man. And Jacob, I suspect we're not going to be, I suspect we are going to be hearing more from you in the future. Hopefully.
Hopefully not about this kind of stuff.
Hopefully not about this kind of stuff, but you never know. It's, you know, you mentioned, though, this idea of free speech, and there was a Pew study released not too long ago. 40% of millennials, this is your generation, Jacob, 40% believe in putting limitations on free speech. And I think when you see what happens here, what happened with you, what's happening with other students around the country, it really should be a wake-up call for all of us older folks to start paying attention and getting involved and putting a stop to this nonsense.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's also on the backs of millennials like me, millennials who know what's going on is wrong, but who are too afraid to stand up. And what I would like to tell them is that there are people there who support you. There are people there who want you to stand up and who will support you through your efforts. And don't stand down and don't let them silence you. It's not okay. It's not right. And you have people behind you.
What did I tell you? The kid is the real deal. Jacob Ellenhorn, he's going to be running for office one of these days. A solid conservative young man taking a stand on his campus. He didn't care what these people think. They're not going to tell him how to think, how to live his life. You know, this thing about free speech, I was giving a lecture at Truett McConnell College just a couple of weeks ago, a fantastic Christian school in North Georgia. And I told the young people gathered there, many of them are conservative. I said, I am a staunch proponent of the First Amendment. I believe that you have a right to say whatever you want to say. But I also have a right not to agree with you. And you know what? I'm going to also not only defend my right to say what I want to say, but I'm going to defend your right too. I may not agree with it, but you got a right to say it. That's what makes America, America. And it's very troubling that somehow we've raised a generation of young people who believe that that is inappropriate, that it's wrong, that speech they disagree with should be labeled bigotry or hatred. Hate speech. We've got a lot of educating to do, folks. A lot of educating. So what can we do? Well, first of all, we've got to start standing alongside young people like Jacob Ellenhorn, like standing alongside those young people over at Colorado State University I told you about earlier in the program. And we've got to educate ourselves. You need to share this podcast with your friends, your fellow church members. And you also need to check out websites like campusreform.org. Those guys are doing a yeoman's work over there, exposing all of this chaos on our university campuses. So lots of resources for you to use, but you have to be willing to use them. And you have to be willing to take a stand as well. We're all in this together, aren't we? Look, that's going to wrap up the podcast. Hope you are having a great rest of your day. Be sure to join us over at toddstearns.com if you want to talk about some of the issues. I get onto our Facebook fan page in the evening, and we have some great discussions, robust debate. You can also check us out on Twitter. Again, toddstearns.com, links to all of our social networking platforms. And coming up, I'm going to start teasing this, but coming up, a new book. That's right. I've written a new book. It'll be out later this summer called Silencing the Lambs. So we'll be telling you more about that in future podcasts. Thank you very much, folks. Have a great rest of your day.
Miracles are God's way of letting us know He's here.
From the producers of Heaven is for Real, Miracles from Heaven.
Mommy! Mommy! I'm coming!
Unfortunately, the tests confirm that she's very ill. There is currently no cure for Anna's condition.
We're not giving up.
Based on the incredible true story.
We need a solution.
And we'll get it.
How?
By not losing our faith.
Like a small boat. This Easter.
On the ocean. So you're telling me that when this baby girl fell 30 feet, she hit her head just right and it healed her?
Yes.
That's impossible.
How do we explain the impossible?
He told me I'd be fine.
Who told you you'd be fine?
Miracles from Heaven, starring Jennifer Garner. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets and showtimes, go to miraclesfromheaven-movie.com.